Good evening, and you're very welcome back to another episode of the League of Ireland Women's Show here on FinalWhistle.ie with me, Brefin Early. I think it's episode 5 of season 4, if I'm not wrong, Aaron.
I think I'm right.
We have an action-packed show for you today. Of course, we're looking back at the action in the All-Ireland Cup over the weekend. 8 great games to be chatted about there. We'll talk about that later in the show. We're also going to be hearing directly from the DLR camp after their start to the season. We'll be joined by Eve Keneally in just a few moments when we chat to her about all things happening in Belfield at the moment. Aaron, your highlight of the weekend? Did you get to any of the games?
I was working last weekend, so I was watching from afar. I think probably the highlight is probably the bonkersness of Glentoran and Athlone was probably the highlight for me. I want to speak about Treaty later. More positive news in Treaty in terms of what they've done. But yeah, I think probably Athlone's results, considering just the nature of the way it was probably the biggest standout for me the weekend.
Yeah, and of course, a lot of tight games over the weekend, which means it's pretty much action all. Everyone's still involved in the hunt, really, for those semi-final spots or quarter-final spots later in the year. So we'll be interested to see how that all pans out. We might as well just jump straight into our guest then. Delighted to join Eve Keneally of DLR Waves. Eve, you're very, very welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
The pleasure is all ours. Let's talk maybe about last weekend. Defeat to Crusaders. I suppose, what's the mood in the camp and how much did you know about them coming in? Like, what's the mood after the game?
We were very disappointed after the game. We had the lion's share of possession, 17 shots and no goals. So it's tough, but it was a good performance. So that's a positive to take. We worked really hard. So hopefully the results will start coming soon.
In terms of them, it's sort of a bit of a role reversal last year because you played them as well in the All-Ireland Cup last year and got a result of them. Was there much of a difference between them and yourself compared to last year?
I wasn't with DLR actually last year when they played them, but I had watched it and I think they have a good few new players in this year. Few new wingers, I think. So they were strong, but I think we were disappointed with the results.
Cool. You mentioned you worked with DLR last year. It's been a bit of a journey for you over the last 12 to 18 months from the Academy at Piemont into Athlone last year, making your full debut in the league and now with DLR Waves. What has that been like for you in kind of the moving through the grades and having to kind of maybe move sideways to get ahead over the last year or so?
Yeah, it's been good. Piemont Academy is great. We had a great team, our under-19s team. We were together for 2 years with Alban as our coach, and we were quite successful, won the cup. We had a great bunch of players, most of which are in the league, the senior league now, so it's a great sign. Then the senior team in Piemont was great, so in order to get some game time, felt I needed to move, so yeah, went to Athlone.
A lot of that Piemont underage team, like, there's quite a few of them actually DLR Waves now at the minute. You've got the likes of Michelle Doonan is there, but like, what's that like for a young player when you're getting to that stage? Because we see an awful lot of players in this league will sort of stay at clubs because their friends are there or they're comfortable. Like, when you talk about going to get game time, what's that sort of decision like?
Well, you need to kind of have a think about it and see, like, what do you actually want? And for me, it was I wanted to be playing. Like, I play football because I love the game and I love playing it, so I didn't think I would be playing much at Piemont, so I thought the best thing for me was to move, even though a lot of my friends are still at Piemont, but it was the right thing for me, I think, at the time.
Happy enough with how it's all worked out for you, given the fact that you've been involved in every game so far for DLR this season?
Yeah, it's been great, and Laura's been a great manager. It's been a lovely group to come into, also welcoming and real hardworking young group, so it's been really good.
What's that like, though, Eve? Because I sort of mentioned it a little bit before we come on here about the fact that the last number of transfer windows, DLR Waves have been good. They've always been rebuilding a new team, whereas this window, the only players who went out were players who we knew were leaving from last, who just didn't get out last summer. What's that sort of been like? Because it's more of a lot of the players know each other this year compared to, you know, you look and see having to rebuild constantly.
Yeah, it was great for us. We kept really everyone we knew. Two of the girls wanted to leave last season, so they left in the transfer window. But we kept the core group, and we added a few new players as well, so that was great. And it's just good for a bit of consistency, because if you want to start getting some good results, getting consistency with your results, it's nice to have a solid group and a core group to stay there, you know.
Obviously in college at the moment as well. What are you studying? What's the plan in that respect?
I'm studying biomedical science at the moment, so busy outside of football, but yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Combining the two, playing a bit of college football as well. What's that?
Yeah, I'm actually not playing college football. Don't have enough time. Not enough hours in the day for everything.
I was about to say, how do some of the players who do it, like, can you look on at some of the others who are doing all that? Like, yeah. How does a player sort of, in this league especially, with the commitments that are now there, how do you multitask that sort of education? Because there's a lot more required to the education now than maybe with the demands that have been in the league in previous years.
Yeah, it's tough. Like, it's a big commitment to go pretty much straight from college every day to training 3 times a week. Then you have matches at the weekend. Trying to get time to study as well on top of that, it's a bit tough, but it's just about balancing everything and choosing the right things in the right moment, I suppose.
As someone who coached Trinity in the past, I'm gutted to hear you're not playing college football, but you're listening, can't have everything. It is a tough balancing act to keep everything going. What are the tricks that you have, I suppose, to expand on what you just said, answer to Aaron, but what are the tricks that you have to kind of fit all that in and still have something that resembles a family life and a social life?
It's kind of just using your time to as good as you can. Like, my commute, I live in Maynooth, so my commute to college is an hour. So if I can get a bit of college work done on the train in the morning and going out to DLR in the evening, that's 2 hours study that I did on the train instead of having to spend 2 hours in the library in the evening, and I can go training then. So it's just using those little bits of time as good as you can.
So you're literally going Maynooth, Trinity, then the other way out to DLR and UCD and back in. Like, yeah. People don't realise the commitments that's required to play at this sort of level of National League.
Yeah, there's a lot of travel, but if you love it, you're going to do it and you don't really notice it then.
Any issues coming in with, like, coming from Trinity, going to UCD, does anything in the back of the mind, nothing, like, spontaneously combusts or anything like that?
No, the Lewis can be packed, but it's grand. You just kind of deal with it, used to it at this point.
Let's talk on the field. Okay, results haven't gone the way you would have wanted this season in terms of the All-Ireland Cup and the game against Treaty. But that result against Shamrock Rovers on the first day of the season was a bit of an eye-opener to a lot of people in terms of DLR have huffed and puffed in the last year about getting these sort of results and just come up short. How much growing has the squad done with pre-season since last season? And how much more growing can you do over the next, say, six months?
Yeah, I think we had a brilliant preseason. We've all worked so hard on and off the pitch. We've really come together as a group this year. I feel like there's a great bond with us all. And even with the management, there's a great respect between everyone. And I feel like everyone underestimated us going into that Rovers game. We were seeing things all over social media saying, like, oh, Rovers will beat them comfortable 4-0.
And sounds like something he'd say.
No, I definitely said Sligo would lose the Shells 4-0. I'll hold my hands up for that one.
Yeah, so we just used that as motivation. We knew we had put in a good preseason, and it was a shock. Like, everyone else was shocked by the results, but we actually came off the pitch a bit disappointed not to have taken the 3 points that day. We had really worked really hard on the pitch, so it was good to see that our preseason had paid off. But we need to start getting more results now as well, and to add to our great performances.
It's a very young squad out in Belfield at the moment. What's it like being in a dressing room like that where, yeah, you have some senior players, but for the most part, they're all in and around your age group?
Yeah, it's great. We're all very hungry. Like, we're quite inexperienced. We gained a lot of experience last year, some tough lessons as well. But we're really hungry this year to do better, to add, not just to have great performances, but to have points to go with that as well. So I think it's a good environment to be in.
If I could say to you, you had to look back and give the Eve of 6 months ago or 8 months ago advice when you were taking some of them lessons, what would be the biggest lesson you've taken from some of them results last year? Because I know the one in particular that stands out for me for DLR is the loss of Shells in the league, where it was probably one of them games that they should have got something from.
Yeah, I think it was, you have to just keep going. Like, sometimes results don't go your way, but you just have to take it in your stride and keep working hard. We had a good few results last year where we had a few 2-1s, 1-0s, and they're really tough to take, especially when you put in a great shift on the pitch. But it's just about keeping going, pushing on, and hope, and the results will come once there's a bit of consistency with performances.
Yeah, I suppose looking at the weekend, getting beaten in the first round of the Cup doesn't help your chances of getting out of that group, but although it is still mathematically possible, is that a target? Like, have DLR set a target of getting to that quarterfinal stage in the Avenir Sports Cup, or is its primary focus on the league?
I think our primary focus really is the Cup, the FAI Cup and the league. We want to go on a good run in the Cup if possible. We were unlucky last year, our game against Shells in the Cup, 2-1, they got a goal in the 80th minute, and we were very unlucky because we had played really well in that game. So I think our goal this year is a good run in the Cup and hopefully be very competitive in every game. That's something Laura always says to us. We want to be competitive. We want to be a very tough side to beat and just hopefully push up the table a bit from last year as well.
You've talked about keep going, and Laura mentioned an awful lot last year about small margins. How do you close them small margins to, say, the likes of a, not necessarily look at the teams at the very top of the league, say the teams in and around the Wexfords, Galways, how do you sort of close the gap to them to get to that next level?
Well, this year we're training an extra day, so we're working a bit harder, and it's also about getting a bit of consistency with the group and just having a comfortable environment. Last year was a bit like they had a change of manager, lots of players leaving, lots of players coming. This year it's quite calm. There's lots of, we all know each other this year, and it's just a good environment this year to get working hard, and everyone's working for each other, which is a huge thing.
You've mentioned Laura a few times. Of course, she's the only head coach, female head coach in the league. Does that enter into your consideration when you're agreeing to come back for another season or to move to the club in the first place? Does the fact that it's a woman in charge of the dressing room, in charge of the club, make any difference in your decision to do that?
No, not really. Like, she's a brilliant manager. I don't think it matters if she's a woman or a man. We all have huge respect for her. She puts in so much work for all of us, on and off the pitch. The analysis she does, gets up to training so early, the sessions she plans, it doesn't go unnoticed by us all. We all appreciate it so much. So it's a real pull factor to stay at the club.
When you say the likes of things like that, when you look at, say, DLR, there's no denying this, and it's not being disrespectful to DLR. DLR probably the smallest budget in the league, the smallest things in the league. When you see a club like that, and you know, does that tell you players are there because they want to play football, or what does that tell you? Because there's not the financial rewards that some clubs can offer players. So what does that tell you about DLR?
I think it tells you that we're all there to play football. We love the game. Everyone in the dressing room loves the game, and we all want to do well. We're not happy just sitting near the bottom of the table. We want to push on. We want to be a very competitive team. And yeah, I think it tells you a lot about the characters in the dressing room, that we're not too concerned with the financial side. We all want to play football and do as well as we can. And yeah, that's kind of it.
In terms of, I suppose, the future, you've no game this weekend. You're not back on the pitch, I think, until the 13th of April, a trip to Cork. That's a winnable game by anybody's standards. Cork, bottom of the table at the moment. Is that a target? Kind of get the season up and running with the first win down in Turner's Cross?
Yeah, definitely. We're definitely approaching that game with high hopes. They did get a great result at the weekend, 2-2 with Wexford, so they've added a lot to their squad as well. Good few players like Orlo O'Mahony from Rovers played against her, an underage, great player. So it's not going to be an easy game. They're obviously probably looking at it saying they're going to get 3 points as well, but we just have to show more fight, more determination, and hopefully we can pick up our first win.
3 weeks off, though, it's quite a gap. As a player, you're getting a bit of a gap from college at the minute. I'm sure you're probably loads of assessments. How do you sort of use that time? Because it's very early in the season to have such a long gap between games.
Yeah, we're just looking at it as 3 weeks to prepare for Cork. Like, it's a huge game for us. It's a chance to pick up 3 points. So it's more time for us to plan, make a game plan, and just train as hard as we can and hopefully prepare really well for the game.
Yeah, we've spoken on the show a good bit about kind of the professionalism of the league, and the consistency probably more so is the right word of the league. And we've seen this year that year games have been moved in the Avenir Sports Cup to Home Farm. I know it's happened once or twice last year as well. Is that something that affects the squad when you're kind of in a new environment or unsettled, rather than maybe being in the same home ground week in, week out?
Yeah, well, we love the ball. It's a great facility. It's a great pitch. But Home Farm isn't bad either. It's a lovely pitch, and the facilities there, they're as good as League of Ireland. So we're lucky to have that alternative. It's something that probably would affect us a little bit, but not much.
I have to ask, Brefni, you're probably not going to like me. We've had conversations about this. The DLR Wave social media account. Oh. The trending and the stuff that we've seen. As a player, when you look at all that sort of stuff, what do you make of it? I have to ask.
I don't know. It's
They're going to be they have the capability of talking about her every Saturday, so she's not going to piss them off.
No, like, a lot of work goes into it, so it's not really going to say much.
It's a very diplomatic answer. I like it. I don't necessarily have a huge problem with it now. Aaron has a bugbear about it, but I think it's different, but it's not how I would do it, but each to their own. In terms of the season ahead, like, everybody has a different measure of success. You've talked about a cup run, challenging in every game in the league. Is there a number on that league table that you would be happy with, and a number that maybe you mightn't be happy with come the end of the season?
We want to finish higher than we did last season. That's 100% our goal. Not too sure if we know exactly where we want to finish, see where the season takes us. But once we're competitive in every game, picking up points will come with that. So higher than eighth, which were where we finished last year. We want to push on.
Is it the position or the points total that you'd be more interested in, though?
Probably the points and performances, to be honest. Like, if you're just scraping points, it's obviously good, but we want to be putting in performances that people enjoy watching our football, but also that's enjoyable to play as a team as well, and that we're competitive in every game.
In terms of the fact that it's a 20 game season again this year, instead of it was 27 two seasons ago prior to the World Cup, and we know about the long gap last year. As a player, do you prefer having more games or a tight, compact season where you only play each team twice?
Personally, I'd prefer more games. Just, it's better to play everyone a bit more. If someone beats you, you can get a chance at revenge and stuff like that. But yeah, I suppose they have to allow for the All-Ireland Cup as well. So probably why it's a bit shorter.
You played in that, albeit for Athlone, last year. Your thoughts on that competition, getting to play teams from outside the jurisdiction?
Yeah, it's good. It's good to play different teams. It's a great standard up there as well. Like, they're very physical teams, and the footballing standard is great. So it's great to have a few different teams, and it's another competition for teams to aim to succeed in.
I think when we first seen the cup last year, I think we were all a little bit, well, I wasn't in particular, a little bit skeptical as to how teams would approach it. But when you sort of take that approach of playing something new, when you see teams like that coming down, or you see Cliftonville maybe getting to the final last year, if they were to come along in a couple of years and say potentially there's a potential on all Ireland league, would that be something that would interest players, do you reckon?
I think certain players, yes, but it kind of depends on what club you're at. Like, I don't think Cork would be a big fan of travelling up north every second weekend. If I was a Cork player, I definitely wouldn't be looking forward to that. So it has its pros and cons. Like, obviously, it'd be great to have more teams in the league, but maybe more teams from Ireland as well. Like, the likes of Dundalk, they have good underage setups, and the likes of Waterford, maybe.
I think Cork had to do it twice last year, didn't they? Last round of games, and then the semi-finals, they had to go up to Belfast.
Yeah. It's mad, though. We think this is a big country. Like, there are places in Australia where the nearest team, never mind levels, the nearest actual team is a three-hour journey. So,
sure, but it was a five-hour flight for me from Brisbane to Perth.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about, like, at local, what we would consider GAA level, like your nearest team, where we have one 4 or 5 minutes down the road almost across the entire country. Like, you could be talking 2 or 3 hours just to play any game of any kind. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I do appreciate people are busy, and it is a huge journey from Cork to Belfast by Irish standards. In terms In terms of the, I suppose, that whole thing in terms of the Avenir Sports Cup, like, what's your biggest learning from that game last weekend that you wouldn't have seen? You mentioned the physicality, but in terms of anything else that comes through in that experience of playing against a team from the North?
I think our biggest learning was we need to be more clinical just from our personal game. We had so many shots, and against the likes of maybe some tougher opposition, the likes of Shells, Piemont, you're not going to get that many chances. So if we want to start picking up points, we need to be putting chances away. So that was, I think, our learning we took from it. We were very happy with how we played. Our possession football was quite good, which teams probably wouldn't have said we're too good at. Like, teams often associate us with going long often, but our passing was super at the weekend, great patterns of play as well. So I think our learning is just to be more clinical from that.
Interesting, because a lot of you're right in what you're saying there, because look, you look at last year, a lot of people have said, oh, DLR will just push it along. Does that maybe change in style? Is that because of potentially players getting more comfortable or getting more used to the level they're playing at?
Yeah, I think it's just gaining confidence. Like, we're, as you said, we're a young enough squad, but it's just, we're good enough footballers. We see it in training all the time, and it's just about showing that in matches and being comfortable on the ball, comfortable to pass instead of going long, you know, that kind of way.
We do have some messages in from some viewers. Michael Menza says you're a hard worker, so we'll take that to be accurate. There's also a couple of others in there as well, but they're, we won't put them on air for a few reasons. But in terms of, we don't want to start World War II. But yeah, it's World War III. Having you on the show, it's great to kind of see the younger girls coming through, because when we started this a couple of years back, we get great conversations with the girls in their mid-20s and maybe late 20s, early 30s. They would chat away because they knew the thing. We'd struggle to get girls still at your stage, maybe a year or two out of school, to really engage properly. And I'm very impressed with just the quality of the conversation. And it seems to be something that we're seeing a lot more of in the league, is the girls are more used to it from maybe National League academies through. Do you find that yourself in terms of the players coming through? They don't really need much extra confidence based on where they're coming from.
Yeah, there's loads of confident young players coming up. Even for us at the weekend, we had Aisling make her debut. Such a confident young player, going at players, not a bother to her. She potentially was man of the match at the weekend, unlucky not to score. So they don't lack confidence on or off the pitch, which is great to see, and it's something we need in Irish football, I think.
Aisling Meehan, of course. Aisling Meehan, of course, is who you're talking about there. Well, listen, Aaron, that's it for me. If you have any more, you want to...
No, I'm good. Much appreciated for your time, Eve. It's something that, you know, we've been trying to get DLR for a while, and it was gotten to the stage that we were having conversations last week, and fair play to Laura for helping us out as well and getting you to come on with us.
We'll leave the final word, though, to one of our viewers. And again, it's Michael has asked another question. What's the difference between academy level and senior level?
I'd say it's the physicality, to be honest, and just knowing the tricks of the game almost. Like, academy, there's the football standard is pretty similar in the 19s league to the senior. It's just the physicality and knowing how to manage games and stuff.
Excellent. Well, listen, you're well able to manage games along with your teammates over there in the UCD Bowl. But listen, we'd love to chatting to you, and hopefully we'll have you back on the show, and best of luck for the rest of the season.
Cheers. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
I'm very impressed with the level of responses and the insight into the game in the dressing room there, Aaron.
I'm not surprised. And that's been honest with you. You know, even someone I've followed on social media for a while, and like, you even see it with our performances when she was with the likes of Athlone. It's a highly intelligent person, and then when you see that studying biomedicine, it's no real surprise either. And I think a player like that has got a lot of hard work and grit about her. Like, I think for many years, we'll be talking about the likes of Eve for many years to come. And yes, we always talk about the up-and-coming big player who makes the big splash, but it's the likes of Eve Conheedy over the next couple of years who'll be the backbone of the National League.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk more about some of the teams around the weekend. Plenty of action, 8 games all played in the All-Ireland Cup at the weekend. Some cracking games. Maybe let's start with the Glentoran Athlone one. You touched on it briefly at the top of the show. Just randomness all over the place.
Bonkers is the best way to describe it. Absolute bonkers. Athlone got a couple down, and then sort of it just changes all over. Like, when you sort of think, considering Glentoran be one of the stronger teams in that league, when Athlone do go down, you might think, okay, they're not going to probably not going to get back into it. Like, if you look at the Athlone team itself, there was some changes as well, but it's just a show. It's a show of the way Kilduff just wants to play football, that they don't care. They'll back themselves to go and score goals in these sort of games. And we've seen that in previous years, the way they can go and score quick goals. And got a feel for Glentoran a little bit, especially when they run into Athlone, who just decided to turn on the burners a little bit.
In terms of the other game played on Sunday, two of them, Bowes, a big win over Lisburn Ladies, 4-0 in the end. They've got to be happy with that.
Yeah, some things in that one that, if you're looking back on the game from a Lisburn point of view, you probably won't be too happy with. The Katie Lovely first goal, she has it as easy as she wants when the ball comes back out to her, just on the penalty spot. And the second goal, Savannah Kane, first senior goal for Bowes, but defending was very, very, very bad, to gift her the ball inside her own box, and she just rifled into the net. The third goal, I feel sorry for the keeper. It took the wicket deflection, went through her legs, and it was a good run by and then with the last goal, how does Alana McAvoy have that much space is the question I would ask. It was a lovely ball from Morgan Fitzpatrick, but how McAvoy has that much space for the header, and she's not going to miss with about 10 yards of free space. She probably could have taken it down and side-footed it into the net if she wanted. Comfortable win for Bowes. Not too surprising because Lisburn would be one of the weaker of the four teams from up north, but Bowes done the job and done what they had to do.
Yeah, Lisburn, I think, only in there because of the removal of Sian Swifts. So, wouldn't expect huge things from them at this level, but they'll be disappointed, as you say. Cliftonville then, finalists, of course, last year, beaten 1-0 by Galway in that final in the Showgrounds last year. They hosted Shells. This a game that maybe neither side would be particularly happy with? 1-1 draw?
Well, if you look at the Shells' point of view, I'd say Owen would be content. He made quite a lot of changes. He gave a lot of players some game time. He didn't really go with his first 11. I don't know if you've seen the video. I've seen Rebecca Cray put it up on social media yesterday of Pearl Slattery making a clearance. The shot was rifled at her from about 15-20 yards away. Stood right in the front of it and looked as though it was one of them sort of games. But listen, from a Shell's viewpoint, the All Ireland Cup is not necessarily for them. I really think the All Ireland Cup for them is going to be about giving that squad a bit of a rotation, giving that squad a bit of game time. Their focus is going to be trying to get that league title back, and off the back of that win against Piemont, I wasn't surprised to see Owen Whirin make a couple of changes. Cliftonville will probably be disappointed not to have got the 3 points in the game and started off with a win. But it's not a bad result for either side, I don't think, in the end.
Yeah, 5 more games played over Saturday afternoon and evening. Let's take them in chronological order. We've already touched on the DLR game with Eve, so we'll jump straight to Treaty Shamrock Rovers. We've been impressed by Treaty. You talked about not being 100% nailed on as to whether it was a flash in the pan or something that could really show continuous growth. Where are you sitting on that now? 1-1 draw at home to Shamrock Rovers.
To be honest with you, I'll be out straight. I'm still not 100% sold, right? However, I'm a lot more convinced that I definitely don't think they will be in the bottom three this year. 100% they will not be in the bottom three this year. How high they can go, I still don't know how high they can go, and that's being honest with you. If you'd ask me how high, I don't know. Was it a lovely goal from Aaron Van Dalder, who's starting to make a little bit of a reputation for herself in this league? Yes, absolutely. A nice finish into the bottom corner. The goal that Shamrock Rovers scored on your Gorman, I don't really think Anne-Marie Uliak could have done very much. It was well placed, going over her head. I think from a Treaty viewpoint, Treaty be definitely the happier of the two sides coming away with a point there. The fact that the sides play again in the league this week, that's what's really intriguing for me, is that can Treaty back that performance up? I'm going to go out on a limb and say I wouldn't be surprised if Treaty do get something again, and that's the nature of the way Treaty have sort of started. I think a little bit of momentum, if they can build up that extra bit of momentum going into that international break. Like, if you look at from a Treaty viewpoint, if they get a draw against Shamrock Rovers and Tala on Saturday, that'll be what, two win and two draws from their opening three games, one in the All Ireland Cup, two in the league. That's a dream start for them. And like, the more you look, the more you see the boys. You see the girls who've come in from abroad. They're all in the markets field watching the lads. It's all over social media. It's just the buzz around the place. And I think there's no doubt that the girls are going to feed off of what's happening in the club in terms of the atmosphere, the feel-good factor. It goes back to what Dominic Foley said to us about breaking that cycle of people not wanting to sign. Like, if Treaty go and finish, say, sixth in the league this year, I think they break that ceiling an awful lot in terms of players saying no. And I think that's more important for me from a Treaty viewpoint than how high they can finish in the league. There's no doubt about it that they've improved. And I think the next couple of weeks, we're going to see an awful lot more from them. The only one thing I'd say is I'm a little bit disappointed that it's an international break after this weekend, because I'd like to see them get on a run of playing 4 or 5 games in a row and really see how much they can push the teams. But like, it just goes to show the draw against Wexford last year, although they should never have gotten that draw. They should never have drawn Wexford last year when they drew 2-2 in Marketsfield. They should have beaten Wexford when they conceded late. But it just shows results like that aren't just a flash in the pan, although they've quite a lot of players that have moved in from different leagues and stuff like that. But a lot of these players that they've brought in are definitely working. I don't know what your viewpoint is on the Treaty after watching them again against Shamrock Rovers. I'd be interested to hear what you have to say on it.
I didn't see the game myself at the weekend, so I can't really comment on this weekend. But I was sold from day one. I think they're a different outfit this year than they have been. I think they made strides last season, but I think they've pushed on again. And maybe it's the fact that Dominic Foley is full-time within the club. Maybe it's the fact that there's two very, very capable females at the helm of the club in the shape of the CEO, Kieran McCormack, but also the COO, Mary Curtin, two established international players in their own right. And the women seem to be getting a level playing field that maybe, and with all the respect to all the other teams in the league, I don't think any other club has really, maybe Athlone, to be fair, have pushed the women to the same extent as the men. Like, Bows have definitely put a lot of work in, but have they put in as much as they put to the men? Arguably, no. Same with Shamrock Rovers. And probably the same with Sligo Rovers as well in terms of budgets for those three. So I think it'd be interesting to see. I think Treaty, if they can keep it going, if they can break that kind of hold on that bottom three spot and really push into a competitive spot in the league table, it will do exactly what you've said. And it will allow players to go, okay, now Treaty are competitive. I don't need to travel an hour or two up the road to play. I can play at home. And I think that's going to be massive for them in the medium term.
Mm. Let's talk Shamrock Rovers.
Okay.
Three draws in a row. It's not been the start that Colin O'Neill would have wanted. They've only scored, two goals in them three games as well. Mm. Not really being where they would have seen themselves. Sorry, they've scored, four goals in three games. Three goals in three games.
They have 2 goals in the league table.
Yeah, and then it's guards two and yes.
Sorry, It's not great.
I think now I'm gonna say this. I think Amanda Budden's substitution at half time last week was pre-planned. I had someone tweet me from within Treaty saying that as soon as halftime meant Summer Lawless was out. So was that a plan? Just give Amanda 45 minutes. She's only back first game after her injury, sort of ease her back.
But isn't that what the Avenir Sports Cup is kind of there to facilitate in some respects?
Yeah, but if she hasn't played since November, and how ready is she? That's the other question, is how ready is she actually going to be? Whereas if she starts this week, she plays 90 and then she becomes back in as regular. I don't know if you've seen the Shamrock Rovers announcement on social media last week that they had an Avenir Sports, an All-Ireland Cup special jersey.
I did. I saw that, yeah.
They weren't able to wear it because it clashed with Treaty. It's disappointing, but it's the sort of thing that if you're going to announce it, you know,
make sure you confirm you can
wear it in the first game. I do think Colin O'Neill's under a bit of pressure with the fact that they haven't picked up a win in any of them three games yet. If they were to drop points against Treaty, you're looking at the first three league games they've played. They haven't won a game yet. It becomes a bit of a tough one because...
I don't know. I would argue that they haven't dropped points to a potential league title challenger, maybe with the exception of Wexford, but that was only a draw. But based on Wexford's results,
but is that not worse?
It is to some extent, but you can recover in a 6-pointer against a Shells or a Piemont or Bohemians or whoever might be in Athlone, whoever might be in that.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you Shamrock Rovers' next two league games after this weekend.
Okay.
Shelburne and Piemont.
Yeah, well, they're must wins for them now. So I think that's.
Yeah. They're both must win games at this stage, and if they drop points against Treaty, it's a bigger spiral going into them games. Whereas you'd expect that when they play Shells after the international break, Shells will be well wound up, although they have a difficult game themselves this weekend. You just think, for me, I just think is the Rovers squad probably lacking a little bit of quality this year? I think so. They're probably going to be heavily reliant on Arne O'Gorman this year, a lot more than they probably were last year. And as much as Arne can do it, you'd like to see them have someone else. Joy Ralph probably needs to score 10, 15 league goals from this season if they're to be anywhere in and around that top three this year. And at the minute, they're not giving me the signs that they're going to make that top three, unfortunately.
Have Shamrock Rovers signed names rather than potential? Like, we talk about the likes of DLR with Eve there, where we're talking about a really good bunch of under-19s a year or two out of that level. Shamrock Rovers have an awful lot more girls in their late 20s, maybe even 30s at this stage. Do you need to have that core of youngsters coming through?
I think they relied and thought that their academy was going to make up the gap between the senior and the team. But then you got to look at the likes of Maria Reynolds, missed an awful lot of football last year. Jamie Thompson was good at the start of last year and sort of fizzled out when teams sort of started to nearly bully her in games and sort of stand on her toes. Like, it's a difficult one because you definitely need them names to get the starter. But then when several of the players who you brought in last season, when you lose seven or eight of them this year, again, it's sort of a bit of a concern in that situation. And like Collie sort of deflected it to say that they're a bit heavy in certain positions, that they needed to reduce the player load. But the question I would have they reduced it too much? Like, for me, the big loss is Jess Gargan going back to Shells. Massive personality, massive presence in that team, and that'd be the sort of player. Whereas you're looking at and saying is, okay, why did she want to go back to Shell so quickly? And especially after one season, I just think from a Rovers viewpoint, they're going to struggle a bit this year and that sort of thing. And if they pick up a couple of injuries in certain positions, then it becomes massive trouble for them.
Yeah, it's a worrying time, but I think Colin Neal is a good enough coach to get it out of a group of players. And I think I wouldn't be throwing the toys out with the maybe out with the bathwater just yet. I think it's very early days. They haven't lost vital points, in my opinion, but I think it will be interesting to see how that progresses over the course of the next six rounds of games. As you mentioned, they do need to take at least 4 points from those two games against Peas and Shells, in my opinion, for them to have a chance at the title.
For me, realistically, seven out of nine from the next three games is a must.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Let's look at Piemont that we've just mentioned. Piemont, of course, they had a 2-2 draw on Saturday. They were at home to Linfield. Again, another cross-border.
I don't know if you've seen any of this.
No, I didn't.
Right, I want to give out from the start.
Okay.
Kerry Holloway's first goal for Linfield when she equalises.
Yeah.
LOI TV missed it. Camera's on the halfway line.
Was it the automatic camera?
Yeah.
Oh, well then.
It's the most frustrating thing ever when the camera is on the halfway line and a player is breaking through on goal. It's the most frustrating thing ever. From a P-Mount viewpoint, listen, it was a nice goal to open from Ellen Dolan. Sort of turned on a bit of a swivel and fired low into the bottom corner. And then second goal, I can't really tell you about the Holloway goal because I haven't actually seen it, apart from seeing her racing through on goal. And then the penalty is probably a bit of a soft penalty for Lauren O'Callaghan to give away. Holloway puts it away again. And then P-Mount just fight until the end, get a delivery into the box. And Louise Masterson, probably the one person you wouldn't have expected to score a header. Scores ahead of them, and you know, it gets them out of trouble. I do have concerns for Piemont that their squad is very light. I said last week they had several players named on the bench who weren't even togged out, and that'd be my biggest concern from a Piemont viewpoint, is that apart from goalkeeper, I think they're very light in terms of replacements.
Yeah, the three names in goals, they should be fairly comfortable. At least the defenders know what name to shout, no matter who's in goals for them. In terms of Piemont going forward, is that something that we're going to see a bit more of as the cost of these teams and the cost of these squads gets more established and teams are looking maybe to streamline? Is there a happy medium there between the cost of carrying extra players in your squad versus maybe just having extra options on match day?
Yeah, there's a matter, especially when you're a club who's fighting to save finances to stay in the league like this. Absolutely. And then when you look at the polar opposite of someone like a Galway this year, where Phil Trill said to me at the start of the year, he's been able to bring in additional staff members because of the facts of the there's additional finances there. It's it's difficult for these so-called smaller financial clubs, although Piemont will be one of the bigger clubs in terms of names. Like, it's what we sort of said on the show last year about it's hard for them to compete with these bigger teams, and they're going to have to work harder to get more sponsors in, to get more people to come on board, to get more people to be willing to sort of give them that extra finances to allow them to do these sort of things. And to be honest with you, like, with a 20-game season, you probably get away with it a little bit more than you probably would in a 27, 28-game season. So that's where I wouldn't be at all surprised to see the likes of the Avenir Cup with James making changes, playing. He played some of the 19s. I wouldn't be surprised to see that happen for the remainder of the competition. And it's not Piemont saying they're being disrespectful to the Avenir Cup. It's Piemont just having that light squad and having to prioritise certain competitions over another.
Exactly. Cork City 2, Wexford 2. Is this green shoots from Cork or just disappointing from Wexford?
Bit of both. The one thing I will say from this game is I don't think the goalkeepers will really want to see the game back. The first goal from Lolly Collins, a tap in from close range. Keeper goes to sort of flap at the ball and doesn't get a good contact on it. Literally goes through her hands and falls to Lolly Connell on the back post. She taps it in. Second goal, I think it was probably spilled a bit too easy by Maeve Williams making her first appearance of the season. And then the third goal, Kira Rossler scores across with her left foot from the left flank, goes over the keeper's head. And then the last goal, it's probably poor again. I think it's a game of a lot of errors, but the one thing I will say from a Cork viewpoint is Cork have definitely showed a better performance. There were some more signings come in during the week. I'm not even going to try and pronounce some of the names.
Dorothea Grulich, I think.
She was very good. She was very good for them. Got on the score sheet as well. And like, you just look at from a Cork viewpoint, the one thing about Cork is, yes, they've got some good players, but they've struggled to put the ball in the net for a long time. She looks like somebody who could probably put that ball in the net to where they go to a game against Shelbourne or they go to a game against Piemont where they're on the back foot for 90 minutes, where if they're set up right and they're struggling to create chances, if they get one chance, she seems like the sort of player who could potentially put it away from. That's probably what they have needed. From a Wexford viewpoint, it's still been a really, really slow start to the season. They haven't won yet. They lost the balls in the opening day of the season. Then they did the draw last week with Shamrock Rovers and then the draw with Cork in the All-Ireland Cup. It's a strange one because it's like Treaty, there's so much good going on within Wexford FC with the merger, with what's happening off the field. Unlike Treaty, they just haven't necessarily clicked on the field yet.
Let's talk about goalkeeper for a minute in Wexford, because they've consistently, I think that's probably the backbone of Wexford over the last maybe decade or so, is the quality and the quantity of the goalkeepers that are available to them. But this year they seem to have definitely three girls, if not four who would be looking to be that number one keeper. They've rotated the goalkeeper the whole way through. Maeve has had it before.
Claudia and Keenan have started games the previous season. Nicole Nick started one this year. So they've played three games. They've started three different goalkeepers. So they started Nicole Nick in the opening day of the season. They started Claudia and Keenan. They started Jane Merrin against Shamrock Rovers. And they started Maeve Williams against Cork. But the interesting thing even about that, Breffni, is the fact that Jane Merrin isn't on the bench. Jane Merrin is playing for the 19s the next day. Like, they're just sort of mixing and matching. And to me,
is it the club focusing on having the strongest 19s as well and really focusing on the academy? Because I don't know for a fact because I don't know the girls personally, but I'm guessing they're not happy to just be the 19s keeper. These girls came in to play in the first team. Now, it's great for competition, but is it good for morale within those group of girls?
And I have to think when Nicole Nix come to the club from Treaty, I think she was under 17 at the time. Keenan came in, I think she was the 17th keeper, which is a little bit older than Nix. And then Jay Merrin obviously coming in from Shamrock Rovers this offseason. Like, when you see that sign three, I'm not going to lie, I probably thought Maeve Williams may not be coming back when they sign three, because they only really announced Maeve very late. And when you look at that, you're sort of thinking, okay, you have four keepers. Granted, you can play some overage players in the under-19s league, but means you're going to either have two keepers on the bench at every National League game, every League of Ireland game, or else you're going to have two keepers on the bench, keeper on the bench for the 19s. And like, how do you find that happy balance? Like, we've seen a couple of years ago, and no disrespect to Nisha McAloon and Niamh Burke, but yeah, that had a massive impact on Piemont losing the title a couple of years ago when they were rotating week in, week out. Like, the players nearly knew going to training, I'm not playing this weekend, Nisha's playing, or Nemo would have known, and then Nisha vice versa, I'm not playing this weekend, I know Nemo's playing. And like, that sort of thing cost Piemont the title. And like, you can't have that at elite sport. If you want to be winning leagues, you know, you nearly need to have your number one and have your number two. I understand the whole idea of wanting multiples, but how long can you keep four goalkeepers happy for? Not very long.
The irony of our conversations about the international goalkeeping position being the polar opposite of this, almost the polar opposite of this. You do need to give them four, but I think four is a bit ridiculous.
Courtney Brosnan's played 24 internationals on the bounce. The last time a goalkeeper played in goal was the Pinatar Cup, February 2022.
Yeah,
against Russia as well.
Let's move on to the last game of the weekend that was played. Galway United, of course, the holders, back to the scene of the crime, or the scene of the victory, probably, to be fair to them. This time, double that score, 2-0, the gap between the host Sligo Rovers and themselves. Rola Olalausa, I probably butchered that name as well, apologies. Two good goals from her. She took them very well when they came her way.
She's starting to get this little reputation for herself, Breffni, as someone who knows how to find the back of the net at this level. And the one thing we've spoken on this show for the last year and a half is if a team can get an out-and-out goal scorer, they'd be dangerous. And we don't have many in the league. Like, you look at last year, I think Dana won the Golden Boot with 13 goals. 12-13, you know, that's not a lot. And she scored a couple on the last day of the season to pip on your Gorman. And like, when you look at that, like, gone a couple of years ago where we used to have the likes of Rhianna Jarrett scoring a goal a game. So even go back a little bit further, Sarah Lawler and Stephanie Roach, I think one got 1 year between them, got 50-odd goals between the two of them. And then you'd also got Anya Gorman and that. So like, I think from a Galway viewpoint, they found someone who can put the ball in the back of the net. A comfortable enough win for Galway. I wasn't too surprised to see it. There's no doubt about it that Phil Trill is going to take this competition so serious this year after winning it last year. He'll want to defend that. He won't want anybody else having the name on the trophy. I have to ask this question. Have you seen Galway's social media in the last couple of days?
No, I've been locked up.
Jessica Berlin had a match day. They done like a part one. I think there's a part two of like a match day vlog. Come to Sligo with us. I thought it was really good. And like, you look at the content that they've been putting out last year as well, where they've had them filming in and around the huddles and filming little bits of content. I think a lot of things that Galway are doing right now are doing really positive. They're getting results on the pitch and off the field as well. And like, listen, I know I said it's probably going to be a year too early for Galway, but if they can get someone who's going to score 15, 20 goals in the season, that'll put them right there or thereabouts. That's probably what they missed last year. And it's another step in the right direction for them. For Sligo, having played Shells and got a draw and then had a bit of a boy, it's a bit of a disruption going in. You're going literally playing one off one, playing one. It's sort of a bit hard to get consistency. I'd be more interested to see how Sligo get on this weekend rather than how Sligo get on last weekend against Galway because the two sides play each other again this weekend. So I'll be more intrigued to see how they go on this weekend.
Yeah, I'm doing the quick maths now. Arola has about a goal every 100 minutes for Galway, which is impressive. And she's a goal per start. She's only started four games in the league for Galway, one in the Avenir Cup, and she's got seven goals in those five games starts. Now, most of her appearances are a sub, but still, it's impressive.
It's littering up, you know. And then you add in Jenna Slattery. You know, we haven't really talked about Julianne Russell that much, only a little bit. Lindsay McKee, for me, the silent assassin, is just getting better and better every year. Like, when you look at it from a Galway viewpoint, they've got a very, very good squad. I think from a Sligo viewpoint, Tommy, you will obviously be disappointed losing 2-0, but I think that we'll see an awful lot more from Sligo this week as to where they probably are at this stage.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick look at the Avenir Sports Cup draws, or get rid of the results at the bottom of the table. And we have Bohemians top of Group A from Linfield and Piemont on a single point. Lisburn with that defeat at the weekend, bottom of the table. In Group B, Cork City, Wexford, Cliftonville and Shells all level on a single point. That's probably going to be the toughest group to get out of from this point, given how they've started. In Group C, Crusaders top of the table, Shamrock Rovers and Treaty United level in joint second place in that group, while Athlone Town and Galway lead the way from Sligo Rovers and Glentoran over the weekend.
Right, I have to ask the question.
Go on.
When the third round of fixtures are over, is your knockout stage going to guess the quarterfinalists? Because you seemed to guess them last year for, I think it was the FAI Cup, and got them spot on, even though you're only guessing.
No, I'm not going to take the chance this time. That was lucky. I took a guess and I got lucky on it last year. But that obviously we have fixtures in that, but they're not till the 20th of April. It's much more spaced out this year, around a month rather than three consecutive weeks back to back. Again, it was filling a gap of the World Cup last year, but this could become a nice tournament that a team can kind of build a bit of momentum and look forward to, kind of keep that morale going in the squad or in the dressing room with a good run in this particular competition as well. More so maybe than the FAI Cup, where it's one defeat and you're out.
One and you're done. 100%. And by the way, we both missed something last week. TG Carr announced that they're going to show the final live. So that's another little extra incentive to have TG Carr getting into back it and show the final, you know. And it shows that not just the FAI, it shows that the broadcasters taking the competition series, and I think that's probably what we need. And we might see a couple more of these games shown next year if the fixtures sort of fit right in the pathway. But I think you're right, and I think if you look at the next round of fixtures in the Avenir Cup, Cork play Shells. If Shells decide that they're going to rotate players again, it could be another opportunity for Cork. If they were to get a win in that, then sort of go on to 4 points and have that opportunity going into the last game to potentially get out of group.
Yeah, the TV coverage of the final must be because of the fantastic commentary pairing of last year. So I'll have to get my agent on to TG Carr to sort something out for this season. But you're right, in terms of the fixtures, let's just take a quick look at those fixtures and wrap up our coverage here of the Avenir Cup. Shells host Cork, Linfield host Bohemians, Shamrock Rovers and DLR Waves, Galway, Glentoran, Wexford, Cliftonville, and then on the Sunday, Lisburn versus Piemont, Crusaders versus Treaty, and Athlone Town versus Sligo Rovers. All those games, of course, the Irish
Can I give out?
You can.
Athlone versus Sligo at 7 o'clock on a Sunday. I hope they change that. I really hope they change that.
Well, it probably suits most of the girls in terms of going to and from college. You know, there's a lot of girls based in both that are in the college and the other, if that makes sense. So it'll be interesting to see how it pans out. But I may have that wrong. It might be the night before, but I think it's a Sunday afternoon. In terms of the actual league action, though, this week, we're back with another round of league games. They're underneath you there. What stands out for you in terms of the games this weekend? League leaders, of course, Galway, they host... they travel to Sligo Rovers. They play them on 5 o'clock in the showgrounds. Shells, they're in action against Athlone Town. What games comes out at you from those?
Piemont, most of them do for different reasons. I think, and I said it earlier in the show, for me, the one that stands out for me, and not because it's the clash that a lot of people respected, but Shamrock Rovers against Treaty. Because it's a league game, just to see where Treaty are. That's the one that I'm intrigued about. I sort of haven't made my mind up where I'm going to go to this weekend. I'd like to probably go to Bowes and Cork myself this weekend, just because I haven't seen either two teams, just to get out and see two teams that I haven't seen yet. I think if you have to say game of the weekend, it's probably either Athlone Shells or Piemont and Wexford. But like the way Wexford have started, you'd sort of say Piemont are probably hot favourites for. Like, it's a difficult one to sort of call. They haven't had the greatest of luck or greatest of results in PRL Park in recent years. Yes, they got a draw two years ago, but they've sort of struggled to get league wins there. And I think Athlone Sligo, a lot of folks will be on that based off the fact that, Athlone Shells, a lot of folks will be on that for the fact that Kilduff, it's against his former club, the repeat of the cup final, you know, considering he played for Shells. And it's a repeat of the cup final as well. I think that's probably the one that stands out for me. But all the games have a lot to play for different reasons. And I think for teams, especially with an international break coming up as well, it's, you know, can you get a win going into that little bit of a mini break?
Yeah, for me, I have a big decision to make. Leitrim, of course, in Croke Park on Saturday evening, so it may not be as.
I hate to say this. I know we're a soccer podcast, but if you end up at a soccer game on Saturday, I'll be very disappointed.
Well, we'll see. Sixth time in the history for Leitrim to make Croke Park, so we'll see how that goes.
Do you know what you could?
I could go to Bowes beforehand.
You could join me in Bowes at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, and then scoot down the road to.
And if I was really feeling it, I could even hit Athlone for the second half on the way home. Just take a little bit of a detour. Anyway, listen, Aaron, appreciate...
Just before we do, yeah. A couple of things I want to touch on.
Oh, of course, Ireland squad out tomorrow.
Ireland squad's out tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be very interesting to see what she does. I don't think Sinead Farrelly has played since that last squad. I know she had a calf injury.
She hasn't played in the NWSL anyway.
I don't think she's played in the NWSL, so I wouldn't expect her to be back. I'd expect Denise to be back. I don't think she picks Tara O'Hanlon because Tara hasn't really been involved with Man City since making the movement. She hasn't played since doing a hamstring went on trial for United. It'll be very interesting to see what way that squad lines out. The FAI also announced, it's on Ticketmaster, that single sale tickets for the England game go on sale tomorrow. I think they probably realise the attendances aren't where they would expect them to be with the dual sales, and they need to do something with less than 2 weeks to go till England come to the Aviva, and hopefully people when they get the single game ticket will come along, because it's been 40 odd years since we played England and in a women's senior international, and to have them come into Dublin is a big occasion, but a little bit concerning on ticket sales at the minute for me.
Question for you on the squad tomorrow, and it's one we've talked about before, is just when it comes down to selection, we look at so many of our midfielders, Lily Ag, Lucy Quinn, Tyler Toland, and others, Jamie Finn, a few others in there as well, all plying their trade, Roisin Little John, all plying their trade in the Championship. And yet, the top of the table team, Crystal Palace, Hayley Nolan, ever present for them this season, she can't get a break at Ireland level.
Even the fact that she's moved to centre back, I actually find it flabbergasting that she is not in the squad. And like
she's in the squad. She's just not getting game time.
She wasn't even in the squad the last one. She was omitted from the last two games. And like I tweeted before the squad was announced, being like, it's a prime opportunity to give someone like a Hayley Nolan at centre back game time. Like, listen, I get on so well with Jesse Stapleton. Jesse's father, I love Noel. But like, even to see Jesse playing midfield was a bit of a surprise to me in the last two games, considering she played a trade at centre back for club for the last number of years. Was it just the case that Tyler and Denise weren't available and she thought that was her best option? Potentially. What she's gonna do, I don't know. But the problem is you can't really start these games against France and England with two big defeats. So it'll be very interesting to see what way she does go with them, because there's no doubt they are going to probably have to play quite defensively in both of these two opening games.
It flabbergasts me, though, because Hayley Nolan has been the most consistent performer at that level in England for a couple of seasons now.
It's not last year she played every minute for London City Lionesses.
She's every minute for Palace this season as well. And when you compare that to players who are actually getting in and getting game time with Ireland, she has multiples of their time on the pitch, you know? Mm-hmm. And I can't understand why she hasn't at least been given a try. Like, it's one thing saying, oh, she's not in the squad because she didn't perform X, Y, or Z. She hasn't even really been given a shout.
No, because she was in multiple squads in the lead up to the World Cup. She was in and around, and then all of a sudden, you know, doesn't make the World Cup squad. You're sort of thinking, I was a little bit disappointed for not making the World Cup squad. I thought her versatility might have got her in there, and then straight back in when for the new campaign, and then out for the last game. You're sort of thinking, like, it's not injury. It's definitely Eileen Gleeson's choice. And unfortunately, sometimes the managers don't particularly like certain players and in positions, but. When your players who have barely played minutes coming into the squad, it must be It must be so disheartening for someone like a Hayley Nolan.
Yeah, no, I have to understand it. But listen, we'll find out tomorrow what the situation is there. Hopefully we'll see her in the squad, and hopefully we'll see her even getting some game time. I just think the numbers don't lie, you know, and when you're getting that, when you're that consistent with a team that's outperforming the clubs that all the Irish girls are at, there has to be something other than it. We've seen it in rugby where certain players, Cliona Maloney, not getting a look in because of maybe an issue between her and the association. I don't know if that is a thing here with Hayley, but it just needs to get ironed out. We need our best players on the pitch at this level, as we've seen in recent games. We can't afford not to be down players.
100% agree with you. Yeah, you're spot on there.
Well, listen, on that negative note, let's look forward to that team announcement tomorrow. Of course, Ireland back in action in the coming weeks, and we'll find out who will be in the green shirt, or at least who'll be in the squad to be in the green shirt tomorrow. Tickets, of course, as well. You can get them on Ticketmaster for the England game. You reckon it'll be on
10 o'clock tomorrow to go on sale for the general. And just to rub salt into the wound a little bit, this time next week I'll also be in France.
Well, I'm booking my flights for Carrow Road as a canary. I'm quite happy to see Ireland line out at Carrow Road against England in a couple of weeks, maybe. I think it's July, 12th of July. So I'm looking forward to that away trip. But that is it for the week. We are back again next week. Thank you to Eve Kennedy, who joined us and gave us great insight into what's happening at DLR. Really positive things coming out there in terms of the youth and the potential of that squad. We'll be back next week. Don't forget, you can catch all of the action on LOI TV over the course of the next, it's all Saturday, I think, this week. But you can have plenty of action to keep you going all day from Bowes 3 o'clock right through to Athlone, I think, which kicks off around 7:30. So plenty of action. Aaron, another week done and dusted. Back for next week.
See you next week.